we come to this time and we're talking about this question, why church? And today I'm going to try to land the plane a little bit, and then next week Pastor Jermaine's going to bring the message on why church. And why church would be, well, because we're invited. That's the last in our sermon series on why church. I'm looking forward to that next week, and then the week after that will be Lent, and we're starting in a new sermon series, and it's going to be inspired by our hymns in our United Methodist hymnal. There are so many phrases in the hymns that really stand out, that we remember, that we can really come to in times of praise, in times of need, and so many of these hymns are just so important to our faith. But we're going to be talking about the hymns all through Lent, and I know that many people are you know, excited, and there's conversations within the church about whether I really like the hymns, and I would prefer the hymns, and I would prefer the hymns that I know, and I would prefer the hymns that I grew up with as a kid, and I would prefer certain hymns and not other hymns, or I would prefer this style of music and not that style of music. And after a while, you start thinking, well, who is this for? And we have to remind ourselves once again, I have to remind myself that the reason why we sing is to praise God. And the reason why we join our voices together is not because of our personal preference. That's something entirely different. This is about collectively praising God and how beautiful that is. And that's the reason behind it. And in our hymns, there are some wonderful theology, some wonderful things that point to Christ that'll hopefully stick with us, and I look forward to sharing that with you and moving forward in that way. But today we're talking about the reason why church. Well, because you're part of the body. You're part of the body. And that's a kind of a fun way of saying you're a member. And maybe somebody's like, I'm not a member. Well, speak to me after church. We'll do something about that. We have a new class on membership. It's called Chumpsy 101, and I've got a group, and we talk about the church and about membership, about all these different things, and theology, and the Wesleyan quadrilateral, and all kinds of things that keep you up at night, you know. And so we're meeting from 9:30 to 10:30 or somewhere around that time each week. And then we're not meeting next week because next week I'll be teaching confirmation, and we're not meeting next week, but then we'll have a group that's going to be joining the church and getting to know folks, and then they'll be coming back to meet you all at the community table during Lent on Sunday evenings as we break bread together. So how exciting is it to have new folks that we can meet and welcome? I want to praise God for that and look forward to that. But why church? Well, because you're a member. And that's a you know, really what we're getting at there is that you're part of the body. You're part of something bigger than yourself. You're part of the church body and what that means. That's a reason why church. And when we look in the Bible, the metaphor that's used over and over again wasn't a car. And I love Miss Marsh's message. It might have been a car, but it was written before cars. So another really good metaphor for the church is the way that our bodies are designed. And I wanted to go to, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians, and you go to the 12th chapter, and Paul is talking over and over about the body. But I love the way that the Message translation speaks about this. He just says it plain and simple. He said, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Now, I wanted to just stop there just for a second and just take just a moment to pause and give God thanks for designing our bodies. What a wonderful thing it is to have a body and to give God thanks for this body that we're given. You know, we might say, well, it's not perfect. It needs some work. Well, you have a body. My boys are at this point now where they're becoming men. They're almost to this point where they're becoming men, and there's a maturing that's happening. And in fifth grade and sixth grade, you start talking about your body's maturing. That's something that we mentioned. That's very important to learn about all these changes. And what I want my boys to know when we start talking about this is that our bodies are wonderfully made by a loving God that designed how they work together, and that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And I think that when we think about our bodies that way, then we can think about them as something different besides something that needs work or something that's getting older. Yeah, our temples are aging, but they're aging well. And as our temples age, maybe you could see the Spirit a little clearer through them as they need more gadgets and gizmos, but the love in our hearts continues to be so strong, and that doesn't fail. God's placed eternity in the human heart. So we think about our bodies and how what a wonderful gift they are, and how at their very best the parts of our bodies work together. So God designed our bodies, and that's a way of understanding our lives together as a church. Every part depending on every other part. The parts that we mention and the parts that we don't, the parts that we see and the parts that we don't. Now, I'm aware of this as well, because each part of my body is depending on other parts of my body all the time. And I don't often think about that, but I do when part of my body falls asleep. Has this ever happened to you? Yeah? It happens to me now more and more as I get older. And my temple wears out, and my spirit can be seen through it, all that good stuff. Part of me falls asleep. And it's because, you know, I lay on my arm wrong or something, and my arm falls asleep, and then my whole body wakes up from sleep, right? And this happens to you too sometimes, and I have to sleep just right so that part of me doesn't fall asleep. It's because my hand is connected to my heart, right? Yeah, just shake it off, you know, shake it like a Polaroid. Anyway, the heart is connected to those. So it's all connected in that way. Parts depend on other parts, right? Well, so he goes on to say, if one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. Now, I know that before long, we all, you know, and in our past, we all experience pain. And I often find myself sitting with someone or experiencing this myself where you just say, that's just the worst, you know? If somebody has back pain, you say, back pain's the worst, because then your whole body hurts, you know? Your whole body feels it and all this, and then somebody else has a toothache. Wow, toothaches are the worst. Well, that's just the worst. And then I've had kidney stones, and that's the worst. Absolutely the worst. Yeah, but it's hard to say. You know, all pain is connected to other parts of our body, and so if one part is in pain, the whole body feels it. That's the way that it works. If one part is flourishing, then the other parts, they celebrate that. What a beautiful thing that is. And Paul goes on to say, hey, you're Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. You are members of Christ's body. You became a member of Christ's body at your baptism, when you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whenever that happened, could have happened as a baby, could have happened as a grown person, but it's a celebration of what God is doing as you're being brought in to the family. But to join a local congregation of the United Methodist Church, there's five things that we vow to give. And that's prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. But I wanted to say this when we heard this a couple weeks ago about it being mutual, about mutually encouraging one another in our faith. That my faith is strengthened by somebody else's faith, and they're strengthened by my faith. It's a mutual thing. So when I think about prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness, it's a two-way street. We're asked to give our prayers, but also in doing so, we receive prayers from others. Just as my body benefits from my hand also benefits from my body. They're connected in that way. And so when we look at prayer, you know, we're receiving and giving. And what about prayer? You know, prayer is, I could speak all the whole sermon on prayer. That's such a big topic. But I think prayer at its basic is just a time to be honest and present with God. Could be a prayer you pray out loud. It could be a prayer somebody else wrote. Could be a prayer that's right off your top of your mind or in your heart, you know, praying for somebody. But oftentimes I work with people who they just say, I feel like I just can't pray. Well, we're reminded that when we feel like we can't pray, that the Spirit can intercede for us with sighs too deep to understand. With our groaning, it can be prayer. When we think about prayer, I think about people that I've said, I have such a hard time praying. And then we'll go to God in prayer. And the first thing we say is, God, this is hard. I don't feel like praying right now. I don't feel like praying right now. God, all these things are going on, and I feel lost and disconnected, and I'm not okay. And then just letting it go. And God, I don't feel like praying. Doggone it. All that is praying. You see, what a wonderful thing we can enter into like that. Or like I had a friend of mine that I just wanted to see what she wanted to pray for. And she just said, look, I'm in the pit right now. I'm in the lowest of low, the valley of the shadow. And so we started our prayer. God, we're in the pit right now. God, we know that you know what that's like. We know that you can lead us out of that. And when we think about praying in the congregation, there's this scripture in James that I love. It says, if anybody's sick, bring them for prayer. We'll pray for them. If anyone is in trouble, let them pray. Anyone happy, let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We go and anoint those that are sick. I went through seminary and nobody taught us how to do that. In seminary, there was not a class for me. I don't know, Pastor Jermaine, if there was a class on anointing the sick in seminary. There was anything about it. So I've been called to anoint sick folks, and I don't think there's necessarily a wrong way to do it. I always draw the sign of the cross on the forehead and pray. And the other day, I got to witness an anointing, and it was. Our dear friend Farrell Trask, he passed yesterday, and he was surrounded by his friends and family, close family members, praying for him and being there for him, and he went to heaven yesterday. We're gonna talk about when we're gonna gather and celebrate his life. I know Barbara's here, and you're in our prayers. And last week I showed up. I just kind of felt a nudge to go and visit, and I showed up and met with Barbara and Farrell, and we're there, and we pray in, and Pastor Jermaine came at the same time, because we're in tune like that, I guess. And Pastor Jermaine came and asked if I had any oil, and she had oil, and I got to witness Pastor Jermaine anointing Farrell, and when she did, it was really very, very special and a learning opportunity for me. She said, here's an anointing for your hands. Your hands have been the hands of Christ in the world. And then she anointed his feet, his heart, his mind, all of who this person is in the ways that he was a part of the body on earth and the body eternally in heaven. It was such a beautiful thing to see this prayer in action. I learned a lot from it. I was blessed by it. And when I get to a scripture like this, I think about anointing, and I think about those that I've known and loved, and those that are now part of the chorus singing around Jesus and part of that life. What a beautiful blessing that is. And our prayer. One thing that I saw online that I wanted to share with you. This is a meme that maybe some of you guys have shared, that this is why we pray for each other. Because we're all carrying a burden, you know, and we all need it. Yeah. Sometimes we're carrying a heavy burden and then the bottom just drops out. And other people are carrying that burden too, bringing it forward, moving through it. Prayer. Part of the body. Then we come to the next one, which is presence. Presence. We're to give our presence. And that's, you know, I admit that's hard for me. It's hard for me to be right in the moment. I struggle with this. Maybe you do too. When you're talking to somebody who's just not a good listener and they're not really present and they're thinking about the next thing they're going to say or do while you're talking and you can tell. I struggle with that. Being fully present in the moment. And I think technology has made it worse. You know, I'm sort of paying attention. I'm sort of not. You know, this is happening. And so we have to remind ourselves that we're to be present for one another. As Christ is present with us, and when you're in a situation with somebody else, and they're listening to you, and they're fully present for whatever you're going through, they are embodying that Holy Spirit in that moment, being the Christ for you in that way. We give our presence. I thought it was something that's pretty recent struggle, but it turns out this is always something that God's people have struggled with. Even our best and brightest. There's this scripture in Exodus when Moses is called by God to go up to the mountain and receive the commandments. And God says this to Moses, and because Moses needed it, right? And rabbis have pointed out this one little phrase. It said, then the Lord said to Moses, come up, he said, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written that you may teach them. Come up on the mountain, Moses. And when you come up on the mountain, be up on the mountain, right? This is something that I'm sure, like, well, it's up on the mountain receiving this thing from God, but he's probably might still be thinking about Aaron and the calf and all that other stuff down in the valley, right? It's troublesome. It's troublesome. He has to be fully present with God. So this is what we want to embody for one another, this presence. Prayers, presence, gifts. You know, your gifts, all different kinds of gifts that you have to share. Maybe it's time, maybe it's energy, maybe it's something that you want to that you have a special talent or gift that you can share. But maybe gifts are financial as well. We have this moment in our worship service, and I love this, especially in traditional worship, where we pass the offering plate and we all put in offering whatever. But the thing is, we join that. I join my gifts, my resources, with others in the community so that we can do good together. And then we come and there's this moment. I know you notice this moment where I lift up this resource here. Say, and it's as if saying, God, this is yours. This is to glorify you. This is not for us. We are all together in discerning, God, where you're wanting this to go and what we need to do. And so as a member of the body, we all get to weigh in on those kind of things. And so we have committee meetings and we talk about these things. And we look at one another and we wonder how best to use the resources of the church, these gifts that we share together. Could be financial, but it could be just a gift that you're offering or a gift that you're receiving because it's mutual. Service is actually doing something. Getting together and saying there is a need and it's up to me. And it's up to others to do something about it. There's lots of different ways that our church serves. Some of them we've announced. Some of them you know about. Some of them you don't. Some of them are in the works. Some of them we have a history of doing, and we're starting them again. Like the adoption of a refugee family. We're talking to other groups in town about what would it look like to welcome a family from somewhere else that's relocating, resettling in this area. What would it look like? Bringing them groceries or helping them in the grocery store or finding a place to live or some employment? What would that look like? How could we partner in that way? And so there's some discernment happening and some things that are in the works, as well as a service like maybe going into the elementary schools and reading with a kid that's trying to learn how to read. And just for the sake of the men, this is a way that I could serve in the school system. I mean, there's partnerships and things that we're looking at and developing that we're always in the work of doing and have done before. And now after the pandemic, we're doing more and more of, and that's really exciting. So service, gifts, service, and witness. Witness is the times where we're able to talk about what God's done in our lives, to share that with somebody else or to be touched by somebody else's story. There is a chance that you're here today because of somebody else's witness to you. You saw somebody else living their faith in a certain way, and that was compelling and captivating, and now you're at a different place because of that witness. We're reminded that the word witness in the New Testament is martyr, and that folks gave their life to share this message, and how Christ said, "You'll be my witnesses in Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the earth," and that we're part of that. These are all reasons why church, but I saw something that I'd never seen. It was right in front of my face the whole time. And I have used this scripture so many times, but I never fully put it into context. And I'll show you where it is. At the very end of 1 Corinthians 12, after talking about the body and the church and how it all works together and how one foot is not more important than the hand and all these other things, Paul, he says this. He goes, sometimes you guys are competing about what's the most important part of the body. And then he says, but hey, I'm going to show you a better way, a more excellent way. So the very end of 1 Corinthians 12 says, but now I want to lay out for you a far better way. What do you think that way is? Yeah. The hint is 1 Corinthians 13 comes right after 1 Corinthians 12. And I feel like I just figured that out. Because for all my life, I've taken 1 Corinthians 13 out of context. I've used it at weddings. I've used it at other things. Love is kind, generous. Love is, you know, it's not boastful. It's not envious or proud. All these things about love, you know, clanging cymbal, I mirror darkly, all that stuff. All of it was in the context of the church as a body. And none of it matters. All of it's just clanging gongs and cymbals if this isn't held together by love. All this talk about church and why church, you could sum it up, or you sum up this whole long-winded sermon with one word, and that's the word that holds it all together. And that word is love. It's the love that God gives us to share and to receive from one another. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, what a beautiful thing it is to have a body and to be part of a body. God, we thank you for our bodies, and we ask that you would help us to truly think of ourselves as your temple, and that within each one of us is your Holy Spirit. God, help us to see one another in that way. And as we come together to make this thing that we call church, to truly be this church in the world, God, help us to remember that we're connected, and that when one part of the body hurts, then the whole body hurts. And that we get to join together also in that healing and in that joy and exuberance. God, we thank you for our connection and the ways that you've called us to give and receive our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. God, we thank you most of all for the love that holds it all together. God, keep us ever focused on that love. Help us start with it and end with it, and let it be in between and mixed in with all the things that we do. God, we love you and we thank you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.